Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you on the 22nd day of September 2005. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. We're up for another great day, a great show, as we talk about some interesting, excellent things that are going on in the news, not the least of which is the weather. Let's have a quick check at local weather and maybe even a little bit about the latest hurricane.
Well, right now in Greenville-Spartanburg, it's 72 degrees, downtown 71, Anderson 69, Clemson 70. Today it's going to be partly cloudy, areas of fog this morning, humid with highs in the upper 80s, and southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. And the Hurricane Rita right now is packing about 175 mile an hour winds and is due to hit Texas on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, as I understand it, I've got one of my oldest son is at college in Longview. That's 250 miles inland, and the path of the storm is going to go directly over Longview, which isn't too far from the Louisiana border. It's projected to go directly over it at 11:30 p.m. on Saturday. 175 mile an hour winds, the third strongest hurricane in recorded history, which is the last, recorded since they started recording weather stats, anyway, the last couple hundred years or so, maybe a little less than that. So it's a pretty nasty looking storm, and it looks like it may do a whole lot of damage in Texas. So that's of great concern and interest. We can all be praying for the safety of believers there as well as others, and that God's common grace would be shown to those people as they were to those in New Orleans by opening an opportunity for them to hear the gospel for those who are not saved. Of course, there are many Christians in that part of the world, but nevertheless, there are many who are not, and we hope that God will, we know that God in His providence will overshadow this and work for good, even though it looks like it may be something very horrible. Of course, nobody ever knows where it's actually going to go. It may not may change course. It's sort of stalled at the moment, but 175 mile an hour winds, that's pretty fast. I'm thinking that tornadoes typically have about 250 mile an hour winds, and of course you know the destruction of one of those things hitting, and 175 for that much land area, just hundreds of miles of very, very strong winds, and I don't know how far inland it goes, but it's going to be a pretty devastating sight down there, I imagine, in Texas and parts of Louisiana when that thing hits. So, anyway, that's the weather for the day. We'll keep our eye on that, and it should be interesting tomorrow morning as we tune in again on Christian Worldview to talk about this this whole issue even further. Okay, well, we have a number of stories to get into today. I want to make sure we have an opportunity to do so. Before I do that, I want to remind you to tune in to tyrannyresponse.com. That's right, tyrannyresponse.com. Under the Events tab, or tyrannyresponse.net under the Events tab, you'll notice that tonight on the calendar is the Constitution Party joint meeting with the Greenville Taxpayers Association. That'll occur tonight at the downtown Greenville Library. Visitors, of course, are welcome, and we would encourage you to go out and get involved with the upstate. Transform the society around you. Make a difference in your world. It's not really worth it, some might say, to attend because my vote won't do anything. And what's my presence going to do? It's not going to change anybody's thinking. Well, I'll tell you what. If everybody thinks that way, then we don't ever end up having any impact at all. We need to have a nucleus, a core of people who are willing to stand up for what's right and to do the right thing, not because it's economically efficient to do so, but because, out of principle, it's good to do so. It's the right thing to do. People say that people don't vote, and rightly so, because it's inefficient. It doesn't make sense. The benefits of voting do not exceed the costs. That's right, the costs are such and such. You know, you have to have time to think about the candidates and research it a little bit. It may take you a whole hour to prepare for an election, or maybe even a half hour. It may take you a little bit of gasoline or some other inconveniences. The opportunity costs in an economic sense might even mean that you have to miss something like going out to eat dinner one night if you're going to go and vote. I don't know. It just depends on the person. Of course, for me, if I vote, it's just right here in the neighborhood, and I can just go over there and be out of there in normally 5 or 10 minutes, so it's not quite as costly. But nevertheless, for most people, they measure those costs, and even though they be minuscule, even though they're only a dollar or two or $5 or $10, depending on how much time it takes you to be apprised of the issues, if you count your opportunity cost of time, it may be $100. And people figure, well, what's the purpose of voting? The chance of my vote changing an election is minuscule. In fact, theoretically and in reality, one vote has almost no value, none. And so it is a waste of time. But you know what? There is a sense in which we can exalt the value of principle so that it's worth more than $100 to us, or whatever that dollar amount is. It could be, if we choose to make it this way, of great value to us to participate in the transformation of society. And so attending these kinds of meetings, although you might say, well, it's not really worth it to me, you know, I'm going to learn a little bit, but it's still not worth the hassle. I'd lose some free time. I lose going out to eat with my wife or spending time with my kids or whatnot. You know, when you say that sort of thing, you're basically saying the principle of standing for the truth or doing what's right or promoting liberty is not that valuable to me. It's not worth very much to me. And that's where the rub comes in. That's where the problem comes in. You show a support, your support for liberty and the truth when you go and get involved. And not to every meeting, of course, but to some meetings in the upstate. And it's sad that they're so sparsely attended by many, many well-meaning people who choose to stay at home instead. Anyway, there's a little bit of encouragement for you. I hope that you will make a change in your own preference set, as we like to say in economics, so that you value the principles of liberty and of truth and of justice in America more than other things, and more than you do currently, so that you will take time to show up and attend some of these kinds of meetings. Well, here's an article or a story called Government Failure and Private Success. And we're going to have just a... Before I read this, we need to take just a quick second to check on a technical problem here. And we're going to go ahead and play for us. I think, can we put on the Bill of Rights for just a minute? Let's put it on early today. And we're going to be back in just a couple minutes. We need to check on a technical problem, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property, without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Sorry about our little technical snafu there, but it was a great time to jump in with the Bill of Rights. Glad we're able to put that up for folks to listen to every day. And it's good once in a while to hear it in the 7:30 to 8 o'clock range of the show. We normally play it right in the after 8 o'clock and usually towards the last section, the last half hour of the show, so it's good to mix it up a little bit at any rate. Well, Fox News is reporting this morning that experts see legal abortion without Roe, the Roe versus Wade decision. New York, the two vacancies on the Supreme Court have activists on both sides of the abortion debate sounding the death knell of Roe versus Wade, the landmark 1973 ruling overturning state laws that criminalized abortion. But some legal scholars who support abortion rights say that may not be such a bad thing. Oh, wow. Roe was terribly reasoned, said Scott Poe, a professor at the University of Texas Law School. I think there's some requirement of the Constitution that if you cannot explain a decision and its relationship with legal materials, it's not a valid decision. Poe, who describes himself as a 100% pro-choice, is far alone in his criticism of Roe. Far from alone. Associate Justices Anton Scalia and Clarence Thomas have made no secret of their revulsion towards the decision on legal grounds. Even some who believe abortion should be legal are uncomfortable with the arguments in Roe. Jack Balkin, a professor at Yale Law School, asked some of the nation's foremost constitutional law scholars to imagine how they might have written Roe. The results are compiled in What Roe versus Wade Should Have Said, America's Top Legal Experts Rewrite America's Most Controversial Decision. Rights are most secure when they are supported by legislative enactment, Balkin told FoxNews.com. The right to abortion would have been better settled if it had been articulated through congressional channels, Balkin said. Balkin points to the 1954's Brown versus Board of Education ruling that made racial segregation illegal as an example. The decision was so unpopular at the time, even among anti-segregationist legal scholars, that it inspired segregationist lawmakers to mandate congressional hearings for Supreme Court candidates. Brown truly becomes law, really becomes something on everybody's board with after the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Balkin said. At that point, Congress said, "We're behind Brown." In other words, he said, Brown was not considered by many Americans to be legitimate until its basic tenets were codified through the legislative process. Anything the court does that is controversial is going to be in danger as long as it's controversial, added Michael Dorff, professor at the Columbia University Law School of Law. The reason why racial segregation is in schools is not going to come back is not because all nine justices think Brown is right. It's because the country has accepted that it is right. Pro-choice legislatures have repeatedly tried and failed to get national abortion law on the books. Abortion politics came to a head during the Clinton administration with the Freedom of Choice Act fizzled in Congress. Abortion rights activists say they have found themselves increasingly on the defensive after Republicans gained control of the legislature in 1994 and on the red alert since President Bush's victory since 2000. In the past decade or so, Roe's breadth has been chipped away by legislation and rulings on a host of sidebar issues: parental consent, late-term or partial birth abortions, and public health care funding. But any real danger to Roe, which in both camps claim exists, may merely be rhetorical. Even if Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice nominee John G. Roberts, who cautiously evaded questions on Roe last week, is confirmed, and even if an anti-abortion candidate like Judge Priscilla Owen is tapped to succeed retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, the court may still not have enough votes to overturn Roe. Justice Anthony Kennedy, is willing to restrict but not to overturn it, Dorf told FoxNews.com. In fact, a real fight over the political makeup of the court is likely to come when its eldest member, 85-year-old Justice John Paul Stevens, retires, the court watchers say. A matter of sexual equality. Many legal scholars who oppose Roe say that neither the Constitution nor in the privacy rights spelled out in Griswold versus Connecticut provide for the right to have an abortion. Some critics say the way abortion is practiced and discussed today is not what justices who decided Roe had in mind. In the 1970s, abortion was not on demand, they said, and the procedure was not accessible to most American women. Roe was in many ways more about protecting doctors from prosecution than granting a new right to women. Roe was written for doctors, Poe said, referring to the summer that the opinion's author, Justice Harry Blackmun, spent at the Mayo Clinic researching abortion. It would have been more helpful if he tried to research law to do Roe than medicine. Some legal scholars say they believe that Roe is eventually overturned. If it is, the case for abortion could then be argued on the due process or equal protection grounds. Criminalizing abortion requires women to have unwanted, non-consensual pregnancies go forward. Wait a minute. Unwanted or non-consensual pregnancies. Okay, whatever. How many non-consensual pregnancies are there? I'm just interjecting here. It's less than 1% that are rape or incest. At any rate, go forward with the pregnancies, and there is nothing comparable with men, says Robin West of Georgetown University's Law School. The most straightforward constitutional argument is that mandatory or non-consensual pregnancies impose a requirement of good Samaritanism that is not required of men. Yeah, it requires that women, like, be good Samaritans to the baby that's in their womb, even if they don't like the fact that he's there, instead of murdering him. Anyway, continuing on, West, who contributed to what Roe versus Wade should have said, added that freedom from violations of autonomy was more salient argument than the right to privacy. What strikes me as the most burdensome of this requirement of mandatory pregnancy is that it imposes on women that she use her body in a certain way. Oh, really? Did it tell her that she needed to go out and have relations with a man? Did it impose that upon her, or was that her choice? Seems to me that they've got things a little bit backwards here, even on Fox News. We're all required to pay taxes, etc., but we're not required to do it with our body, things that we don't want to do. It's a striking anomaly in the law. Well, it really is, and especially when you consider that you chose to have those relations that produced that child in your womb, or that unborn baby, that fetus, that zygote, embryo, and so forth. And you know what? It's your choice that he's there, and even if you don't like the fact that he's there, it's your choice that led him to be there, I should say. He is there, and he is another human life, and being a human life, he should have equal protection under the law, not just not according to be able to shave that, have that right shaved from him by government fiat or state fiat. Arthur Kaplan, director of the University of Pennsylvania Center for Bioethics, agreed. We're not willing to go there until it comes to, when it comes to trade-offs between any two people. We don't say, no matter what happens, you are legally compelled to save people who are in peril, he said. But Dorr said people who are daydreaming, if they expect the case for abortion beyond Roe, would come back to the court as an equal protection claim. The more likely scenario, Dorr said, is that Congress would move to pass federal legislation outlawing abortion rights. Some think that would be an improvement over Roe, which does not lay out legislative parameters. Dorr said there is a decent chance that today's Republican-dominated Congress would pass some kind of national ban that would trump state legislation, but lawmakers are more likely to end up following the cues of abortion of the majority of Americans, by the way, as far as I know, are pro-life. The majority is pro-life. According to a July Pew Research Center poll, 65% of Americans did not want to see Roe overturned, compared with 29% who wanted it gone. Only 9% thought abortion should be illegal in all cases. Well, that's sad. So we're down to the 9% that's left here. Most Americans agree that procedure should be available in cases of rape and incest, where when the mother's health or life is in danger. More are comfortable with abortion early on. The later the term, the more viable the fetus, the more uncomfortable Americans get. Most believe that 12-year-olds and women who refuse to use birth control should not be able to get abortions at will. I'm willing to bet there will be parental notification and there will be no taxpayer funding if Congress passed a federal abortion law. But there will be abortions for the first half of pregnancies, Powell said. There would be room for nuance, as if it were a legislative matter, because there would have to be compromises. But if the federal government creates a legislative remedy, states will likely have to add to their own restrictions to abortion laws, and access would vary across the country. One scenario that interests legal scholars is the possibility that Roe could come back as a Commerce Clause case. Powell said that he could envision Texas and other similarly conservative states passing laws forbidding residents to travel to other states to have an abortion. If Congress also passed a law banning interstate travel for abortions, however, Poe predicted it would be declared unconstitutional. Poe compared the argument to residents in states that forbid gambling being able to travel to states like Nevada to gamble. Congress would be unlikely to pass such a law regulating interstate travel for activities that are legal in the destination state, he said. Well, very interesting commentary on abortion. If you want to discuss this, and we're going to want to discuss this a little more after the break, give us a call at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Questions can be emailed as well to questions@policyofliberty.net. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're reading this Fox News article on the discussion regarding Roe versus Wade, and if it can possibly become or be overturned by these two next Supreme Court justice nominees. My guess is that neither Roberts nor whoever else George W. Bush will pick will actually come out and become pro-life. I'll be happy, of course, if they do. If they do come out to be pro-life, and it turns out to be that indeed, when we have the next retiring Supreme Court justice gone, that we would end up having three nominees that were pro-life. Nothing could be better, as far as I'm concerned, to get rid of Roe versus Wade. Now, these people are actually worried that it will happen on Fox News, and therefore they're having a discussion about the whole Roe versus Wade issue and what would happen if there were no Roe versus Wade. In summary, some are saying, well, look, what's going to happen is Congress will step in and pass a law outlining when abortions can occur, and they'll probably just be during the first half of pregnancy or maybe even the first trimester, the first few months. Other people are saying that, well, they're going to have strict restrictions in various states, and they're not going to be allowed in some places in the South, like Texas, and they will be elsewhere. There may be some regulation on whether or not residents can leave the state and get abortions elsewhere. There's the whole discussion about, you know, why in the world women can't have this right to abortion when it's not controlling their own body, as if somehow, 99% of the time, the conception occurred against their will or something, when in actuality it's not. It's because of the own promiscuous choice of living of the women involved. So that's pretty clear. It's not the issue is whether or not all human beings, including unborn human beings, have a right to life. That's ultimately what it boils down to. All this other stuff is philosophical nonsense compared to that. Is a human being a person at all times, or there are times when government can strip him of his rights of being a person and say that he's just like an animal, or as a black man was when he was enslaved in the United States before 1861, in the North and then in the South as well? Well, that's the fundamental question, folks. The Supreme Court has basically said, we do not believe that a human being is necessarily a person unless government grants him his right. He doesn't get recognized until government recognizes that he has a right to life. That is the huge point here. And from a libertarian perspective, or a Christian perspective, and a constitutionalist perspective, any other true conservative perspective, the only way to side on this issue is, and to be consistent, even though many people who are, especially in the Libertarian Party, do not agree, the only way we can possibly side and come down consistent is to say that human life begins at the conception, and all human beings are persons. That rights come from God or from something else in the universe. If you're not religious, I guess you could say they're just natural to human beings before the existence of a state. Antecedent to the state, to the existence of any kind of government or the state, we have rights. And this right to life must be preserved. It must be protected. And all human beings should share equally in those rights. Doesn't matter if they're born, unborn, at one stage of development, or there's another stage of degeneration, they're all equal. They're all human beings, and from a Christian worldview perspective, they're all created in the image of God. You cannot arbitrarily kill them because they're inconvenient to you. You don't like them. You think they're an intruder. You don't like the way human reproduction works, and it should be that babies are born in test tubes and not bother my womb or not mess me up and cause my lifestyle to have some kind of glitch in it, because there's a baby inside me and God created this way of reproduction and I don't like it, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff is irrelevant. If there is a human being, he should have equal rights as a person in general. It doesn't matter what stage of development he's in or what stage of deterioration and degeneracy he's in. Human beings deserve to have the right to life protected. That's the ultimate libertarian perspective, and the only reason we have government is to protect us from predators. The only reason we have it. And so by having government to protect us from predators, we then want to protect the unborn. That's the Christian worldview. It's the only consistent libertarian worldview, and as far as I know, it's the consistent constitutionalist worldview, and should be a Republican conviction as well, but we know the Republican Party gives at best lip service to abortion issues, pro-life issues. But at any rate, this whole talk is very interesting. I don't think Roe versus Wade will be overturned by these justices. If it is, I'll be glad to see it happen. They're already plotting, however, how else they might get or maintain abortion legal everywhere in one way or shape or form, or at least give people the option to move about the country and obtain the procedure. I don't think in South Carolina it's going to be legal. There's too many people here the vast majority of people in South Carolina believe, as they should, that abortion is murder, that it's the taking of an innocent human life and a person's life, because all human beings are persons. There's no way that we can arbitrarily select out a few people in a class of people we don't like or want to distinguish and say they don't have rights. Same thing Hitler did to Jews. Same thing people did in the United States early on to blacks or Chinese coolies. Can't do it. It's wrong. It's a sin, and it's opposed to the Christian worldview and the philosophy of freedom. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. We're going to take our break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview this 22nd day of October 2006. Glad as always that you've joined us, having a very heavy discussion this morning about abortion, the right to life, personhood, and some of these key things to help Christians need to be thinking about more and need to have clear in their mind, because apparently there are still a lot of Christians or professing Christians out there who are proclaiming and believing that it's okay in some cases to murder children, unborn human beings who are considered non-persons. But at any rate, if you have a question or comment for that, you hope you'll call the show at 864-244-8177. I believe it's an anti-libertarian perspective, as well as an anti-constitutionalist perspective, anti-true conservative perspective, and you may disagree or agree, and we'd be happy to hear from you. Before we do that, though, we want to take a look at the weather locally and also find out what's going on with this awful hurricane, Rita.
Right on Greenville, Spartanburg, 72 degrees. Also downtown, 72. Anderson, 69. Clemson, 70. Today, it's going to be partly cloudy. Areas of fog this morning. Humid with highs in the upper 80s and southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. And right now, Hurricane Rita is heading west-northwest. The maximum winds with at 170 miles per hour. It's moving. It's right now at the entire hurricane is moving at 9 miles per hour. Towards Texas and part of Louisiana, and it's going to be hitting on Saturday right on the coast of Texas. The eye will be right there, and it looks like it will die off on Sunday in upper west Texas.
Yeah, and well, who knows what's going to happen beyond that. There may be tornadoes spawned from this Category 5. They say it's the third strongest hurricane since they started recording hurricane stats 150 or 200 years ago. To hit the United States coast, and assuming it is going to hit it, it's going kind of slowly, but it's really a very, very strong hurricane, and getting stronger by the minute, apparently. Although, actually, it was 175, and now it's back down to 170, so that's good news. It's actually lessened in intensity, but it's going to hit probably Galveston or somewhere between there and the Louisiana border, and then go straight up towards Longview, Tyler. My concern there, of course, I have a son in college there, but we know that in God's providence, God will care for him as well as the others at that university, and we are concerned for all folks, and we're just hoping and praying that that God will preserve life, do his goodness in the world, show forth his goodness as he brings calamity, as what Isaiah 45:7 says, the Lord brings calamity. He does so not because he is vindictive or hateful or spiteful, but because he chooses to bring his goodness in that way, that people might see the power of God, might turn to him for the most important thing, and that the more important reason, which is to be saved. And God uses natural disasters many times to stir people up, and we hope that he will accomplish his will, sanctify people, give people the opportunity in the church to give and to show their own love by their actions. Those are good things we can expect out of terrible storms like this. At any rate, that's so much for that. We'll talk about that a little bit more next half hour at the weather, as well as tomorrow morning, I'm sure, and probably again on Monday morning as things progress. Well, Charles sent in an email link. Our faithful listener Charles frequently sends me things, and I was having a look at or listen to a Stadmiller show, where they had Reverend Ted Pike on talking about the hate crimes bill that was passed by a pretty wide margin by the House yesterday, or the day before. The hate crimes bill is basically going to chide a certain amount of free speech, and these folks are concerned that free radio, like this broadcast and many others, will be threatened because this congressional bill is passed, and the Senate will likely pass it, and certainly George Bush will sign it. If that's the case, what's going to happen to free radio? Well, they already have certain police powers they can use to attack us, and it's not going to be any surprise when they begin to do that. We believe that the fight for freedom is going to be a dreadful fight, and that these tyrants are not going to give up quickly what they have amassed for themselves. They're going to hate those who love liberty, and they're going to castigate them, do whatever they can to put them down. And so we expect that those things are all possible. What we do rely upon here is the providence of God. If God wants our broadcast to go on, we believe that it will go on. We don't believe it can be stopped. There's no way that it can be stopped. We certainly have a responsibility to be wise and prudent and carry on our affairs in such a way that we are left unmolested by these hordes of tyrants and thugs that run our state government, our states, and the general government. But beyond that, we have our ultimate confidence in the Lord. So while I appreciate Charles sending in the link, and it is a good thing to note that we have this tyranny coming up, this hate crimes bill, this legislation that's now passed the House, and voted for by many, many Republicans, by the way, yet we have an ultimate confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus, who can overcome and supersede all of these kinds of things. And another story sent in by Charles, breaking news. British special forces caught carrying out a staged terror in Iraq? Media blackout shadows why black operative soldiers were arrested. This is Paul Joseph Watson writing. And another example of how the Iraqi quagmire is deliberately designed to degenerate into a chaotic abyss. British SAS were caught attempting to stage a terror attack, and the media have dutifully shut up about the real questions surrounding the incidents. What is admitted is that two British soldiers in Arab garb and headdress drove a car towards a group of Iraqi police and began firing. According to the Basra governor Mohammed al-Wali, one policeman was shot dead and another was injured. Pictured below are the wigs and clothing that the soldiers were wearing. The Arab garb is obviously undeniable proof that the operation, whatever its ultimate intention, was staged so that any eyewitnesses would believe that it had been carried out by Iraqis. This is all the indications of a frame-up. Well, we heard talk about staged terror going on over there in that region before, that Americans were planting bombs and bicycles and sending them off to places with a timer on them and so forth. Could be interesting, that, and we're just interested to report it. Want to remind folks to check out the TyrannyResponse.com website or TyrannyResponse.net website. The contact tab will give you an opportunity to volunteer, either, and there's also a tab to donate. Anything you can do to help the Tyranny Response Network is greatly welcomed. If you can send a small contribution every month, or if you can volunteer an hour or two worth of time with technical expertise for radio signals or computer networking, or with actually producing the Christian Worldview show at times, we'd greatly appreciative of your help. You also want to check out, under the Related Media tab there, the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. You scroll down to the bottom, and by signing this petition, it'll take you 30 seconds online. You'll help promote liberty and save private property here in the upstate of South Carolina. And anyway, to make tyrannyresponse.com and policyofliberty.net frequent stops on your web surfing and journeys as you want to promote liberty and the truth. They're great resources and great things to help you promote liberty in your own life and in the lives of others. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian Worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we're trying to do just that. We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have a couple of other interesting stories. This one came in from Stuart, and Stuart actually was forwarding it, I think, from Ralph. Colonel Tim Collins told his troops, "This war is of liberation, not conquest." Now he says he was naive to believe it. Sunday, September 18th, 2005, in The Observer. "When I led my men of the 1st Battalion, the Royal Irish Regiment, across the border into Iraq, we believed we were going to do some good. Goodwill and optimism abounded. It was to be a liberation, I had told my men, not a conquest. In Iraq, I sought to surround myself with advisors, Iraqis, who could help me understand what needed to be done. One of the first things they taught me was that the Ba'ath Party had been a fact of life for 35 years. Like the Nazi Party, they said, it needed to be decapitated, harnessed, and dismantled. Each function replaced with a new regime. Many of these advisors were Ba'athists, yet were eager to cooperate, fired with the enthusiasm of liberation. How must it look to them now? What I had not realized that there was no real plan at the higher levels to replace anything. Indeed, a simplistic and unimaginative over-reliance in some senior quarters on the power of destruction of the crude military might. We were to beat the Iraqis. That simple. Everything would come together after that. The Iraqi army was defeated. I walked away from most fights, but was then dismissed without pay to join the ranks of the looters, smashing the little infrastructure left, and to rail against their treatment. The Ba'ath Party was left undisturbed. The careful records it kept were destroyed with precision munitions by the coalition. The evidence erased, they were left with a free rein to agitate and organize the insurrection. A vacuum was created in which the coalition floundered, the Iraqis suffered, and terrorists thrived. One cannot help but wonder what it was all about. If it was part of the war on terror, then history might notice the invasion has arguably acted in the best recruiting sergeant for the Al-Qaeda ever. A sort of large-scale equivalent of the Bloody Sunday shootings at Derry in 1972, which in its day filled the ranks of the IRA. If it was an attempt to influence the price of oil, then the motorists who queued last week would hardly be convinced. If freedom had a chance to live in dignified, stable life free of terror was the motive, then I think I can think of more than 170 million families, 170 families in Iraq last week who would have settled for what they had under Saddam. UK military casualties reached 95 last week. I nightly pray the total never reaches 100. The consequences of this adventure may even run deeper. Hurricane Katrina has caused a reprisal of the motives and the aims of this war in the U.S. The storm came perhaps in the nick of time as hawks in Washington were glancing toward Iran and has newly found self-confidence in global affairs. Meanwhile, China and India are growing and sucking up every drop of oil, every scrap of concrete or steel, even as the old world powers of the UK and US pour blood and treasure into overseas campaigns, which seems to have no ending and no goal. It's time for our leaders to explain what is going on. It was a battalion commander trying to explain to his men why they could embark in a war that came to this public notice. The irony is that I made certain assumptions that my goodwill and altruistic motivations weren't to the top. Certainly I was naive. This time it is the role of the leaders of nations to explain where we are going and why. I, for one, demand to know. And Colonel Tim Collins gave a celebrated speech to his troops about their mission to liberate, not conquer Iraq. He has since left the army. Interesting. Reported in The Observer, Sunday, September 18th. Yes, indeed, the Iraqi war is not what things seem, folks. It's not how it's been portrayed. Not in weapons of mass destruction, not liberation, not democracy. It's power and control, it's regime, it's empire. It's George Bush paying off some friends. It's George Bush settling a grudge with his dad's, or his dad's grudge with Saddam, and so on and so forth. It's not been what we've been told, folks. It's been a lie from start to finish. It's a joke. It's a terrible, horrible joke. Here's another story sent in by Christian libertarian. By the name of Brian Morton. We'd like to read his articles when he sends them in. This is actually an article posted on the Mises site that he's referring to, the Ludwig von Mises Institute, written by Jeffrey Tucker, called "The Attempted Militarization of the Jetsons." A lesser-known episode of The Jetsons, this is a cartoon that ages us all, speaks directly of our current plight, the relentless but eternally floundering attempt to militarize a bourgeoisie society that is more interested in consumption and leisure than serving a mythical national ethos. Now, let's first review the setting. The Jetsons is a cartoon made by Hanna-Barbera from 1962 to 1963. The newer ones aren't as good, but they aren't terrible either. It's distinguished in science fiction lore by the fact that it is the rare attempt in this genre that actually succeeds in predicting the future. In the Jetsons' world, the future people are pretty much the same as they are today, except that they have more gizmos and far more leisure time. There are families, kids in schools, teens in love, workers complaining about bosses, rock stars and spouses assuming agreed-upon specializations. They love good food, so long as it is made very fast. They have pets they shop. They are buffeted by fashion trends, and they enjoy sports. That's the future. It's an extension of today, just as today is an extension of everything that followed before. There's no dramatic hinge of history that causes all rules to change, as socialist or fascist or other totalitarian ideologies imagine. It's just the same old struggle playing itself out in different ways. The entire setting of the Jetson underscores another point that has lost almost every writer of this genre. Technology does not change human nature or dramatically rearrange the metastructure of limits and opportunities from the basis of the social order. It doesn't rob us of free will or subject us to autonomous forces beyond our control or otherwise transform us all inside out. Technology only makes what we want to do easier to do and leads to a greater degree of flourishing. If this point is so simple, why is it that so many geniuses have missed it? We're going to find out exactly why when we come back after this next break, of this coming break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And where is the state in the Jetsons, continues the article. There are traffic cops who speak gruffly, and there are police who try to catch burglars. That's about it. Oh, yes, there is a zoning board that sometimes makes trouble for real estate developers, but for the most part, this is the ideal of a night watchman state. How this world manages to restrain the state is never mentioned, but there is no talk of a constitution or even a ruler at all, which provides something of a clue. The episode in question here, G.I. Jetson, this normally bourgeoisie society fueled by enterprise technology and the pursuit of leisure, comes to be dominated in the smallest way by a preposterous civic ritual, national service in the militarized Space Guard. The episode opens with a nightmare in which George Jetson's boss, Mr. Spacely, has been transformed into a devil, lording it over everyone in Hades. He is chasing George with a pitchfork. George wakes up and Jane Jetson asks, "What's wrong?" George responds that perhaps he has been working too much. "Yesterday I worked 2 full hours," to which Jane responds, "What does he think he's running, a sweatshop?" That very morning, a phone call comes in. An official-sounding voice announces that George's number has come up. He has to leave immediately to go train for the Space Guard, which requires some service from everyone 18 to 80. His destination is Camp Nebula, which his boy Elroy points out is 10 million miles from the nearest asteroid. George responds, "You know the Space Guard. Anywhere out of this world, they built a camp." The belligerent voice continues, making unreasonable demands, insisting on strict sense of discipline and exercise, and 100% compliance, which everyone finds ridiculous and tedious. After a 10-minute space ride, everyone protests the grueling trip. George arrives at Camp Nebula to find that Mr. Spacely turns out to be the commanding officer, and so the nightmare comes true. All right, the first order is, everyone take the men to the indoctrination center, and off they go, Spacey asks. Who wants to be the first to be indoctrinated? Of course, George is chosen. It begins with a buzz haircut, a medical exam, and an eye exam. Then comes the IQ exam, which George passes because he's able to put square pegs into square holes and round pegs into round holes. Blah, blah, blah. Well, interesting. Everyone is stamped with a number approved. I'm going to skip down a little bit further in this article. The structure of the Space Guard is a hilarious thing to behold. It seems nothing other than an inert hierarchy where each person is permitted to humiliate the person below, but it must cower before the person right above. The episode ends with Jetson getting the best of Uniblab, which turns out to be a typical piece of government machinery, easily sabotaged and broken, and Mr. Spacely suffering at the hands of a superior who in turn has a superior, etc. George returns home to a happy family, having wasted a day or two in pointless civic ritual. The whole show is a wonderful commentary on how this consuming, spending, bourgeoisie, capitalist society is impervious to militarization. The state is seen as a pointless device for wasting time and money, something people will obey with their feet but will otherwise ignore in their hearts and mind. The Jetsons won't be militarized and certainly won't be nationalized, but why? What seemed to be missing in the attempt to impart a militarized sense of civic loyalty in this crucial ingredient? An enemy. Nowhere in the episode is a foe mentioned. There are no attackers. No retaliation is planned. In fact, there seem to be no security threats at all. The indoctrination center didn't even bother to pretend that there was a threat. It's very likely that there were no threats in any case, but it hasn't actually stopped governments, which are known to either invent them or provoke them into existence in order to whip up civic ideal of loyalty to the state apparatus. It is possible that the Night Watchman world of the Jetsons, the government didn't have to the means to propagate a threat. Or maybe the Jetsons world is even more advanced than we thought. The state doesn't bother with scaring people because it knows that no one would believe the propaganda in any case. Some may criticize this cartoon for idealizing a society based on middle-class values, commerce, technology, petty human problem-solving. But for anyone who loves freedom and human flourishing, the Jetsons' attachment to technology and domestic life are to be preferred to nationalist hysteria and the destruction of war. Perhaps the greatest triumph of this show is that it managed to make peaceful bourgeois way living look as exciting as in cartoons as it is in real life. Well, that's a cute article. Glad we had an opportunity to read that today. It's always fun to come up with those kinds of interesting insights that aren't readily available on the surface, I guess you might say. Well, here's another couple of articles. Well, we've got plenty to talk about. We have one coming up with Walter Williams and a few others. But let me give this one instead here before we go to this next article. So we're going to have a break before long. More calls are needed to the House of Representatives. Help Representative Musgrave strip all gun control language from the lawsuit protection bill. Gun Owners of America is calling for calls to the House of Congress or the House of Representatives in Congress in Washington. We want to stop the gun control bill that's coming up that's going to strip gun owners of rights. At least 2 gun makers, Bryco and Navigar, have already been put out of business, and many other gun makers have been forced to dole out millions of dollars to protect themselves. Representative Marilyn Musgrave has taken up the cause in the House. She wants the Congress to send the President a clean bill that will protect gun makers and sellers without punishing gun owners in any way, and that's what they're trying to do. They want to strip off Senate Bill 397, anything that curtails the Second Amendment rights. And we need to make a call to our congressmen or our representatives today to do so. Remember that Senate Bill 397, when you call in and complain to your representative up here, that's Bob Inglis. Good luck in getting anything out of that guy who's already been a traitor in so many respects. I want to make a quick plug for the Times Examiner. That's right, the Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. And if you're tired of reading liberal columnists, you can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner, which supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can get a copy at newsstands around Greenville or at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. A full year subscription mailed directly to your home for the entire year is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started. That's 864-268-0576. Or if you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, you're certainly welcome to do so and help this paper as well as your business. Call David directly and ask for him by name, 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us on this 22nd day of September. This is the last half-hour segment of the Christian Worldview program. Before we go on, though, let's take a check at the weather locally and with Hurricane Rita.
Right now in Greenville-Spartanburg, 72 degrees, downtown 72 also, Anderson 70 also, Clemson 70. Today partly cloudy, areas of fog this morning, humid with highs in the upper 80s, southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. And now with Hurricane Rita, its movement is west-northwest at 9 miles per hour, and maximum winds at 170 miles per hour, and it's going to hit the border of Texas, the sea line, the coast over there of Texas and Louisiana on Saturday, and it seems like it's going to go into northwest Texas, and it's going to die off there.
Actually, let's make that northeast Texas as it goes right up near the Louisiana-Texas border around Texarkana. Actually, it looks like the eye of the storm, the center of the storm, should pass 250 miles inland at about Tyler or Longview, as I mentioned, where my son is attending school. So we're keeping a close eye on that storm as it makes its way across land. CBS News says the following. If there was a Category 6, Rita would be there, said CBS News meteorologist George Cullen. This is an incredible storm right now, the third most intense hurricane ever recorded. The line of cars are heading away from the Texas coastline, said it all, reports CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan. More than a million people are under orders to evacuate, and even though it was Rita they were running from, it was Katrina they were thinking about. It's not worth staying here, said Celia Martinez, as she and several relatives finished packing their homes and pets to head to Houston. Life is more important than things. Well, if they figure they're going to be safe in Houston, which is only, 30 or 40 miles from the border, not the border, the coast, then I suppose further inland it should be even safer as the thing deteriorates over the landmass of the continental United States. However, we have to remember there's going to be a lot of tornadoes that are spawned by this thing as well, and that's going to be probably even more danger to inland areas of Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and Louisiana than anything else, and probably elsewhere for that matter, as this massive storm becomes a threat and begins to hit the coastline shortly. So we'll be keeping an eye on that today, of course, tomorrow's show, and probably on Monday's show, as I've mentioned earlier in the broadcast. Well, when is it right to fight? Here's Steve Hayes writing on an article sent up by our illustrious production research staff at the Tyranny Response Network. This was an article out of the Chalcedon report from Stephen Hayes. He double majored in history and classics at Seattle Pacific and is currently both a student and teacher's assistant at Reformed Theological Seminary, but he resides in Charleston, South Carolina, of all places. At any rate, he says, when is it right to fight? Well, he says, we are at a time of war, the war on terror. The overarching term, the primary foci for that war have been the Afghanistan and Iraq. The Iraq war in particular has been highly controversial, although controversy has a way of feeding on itself. It's not my intention to take sides in this debate. Rather, I intend to discuss a few criteria for judging military commitment. And he says, number one is protection. What is the justification for war for national defense? National defense is or ought to be an extension of self-defense. I have a right to defend myself. I also have a right to defend my family. Compare Exodus 22:2. By logical extension, there are times when we pool our collective resources. I am prepared to die for your family if you are prepared to die for my family. As a tribal society, ancient Israel was one big extended family with one clannish code of honor, such as what happened in Judges chapter 20. In the Iraq War, our soldiers are dying for Iraqis. Iraqis are not dying for our soldiers or our families. So he thinks it's unjust, and we agree. He also thinks is that that war has to be judged on whether or not it's prudent. We don't always necessarily know the right course of action, but we want to know, not in the sense of it's morally right all the time, but whether it's prudent to do so. Just because you'd even be justified in protecting something or somebody by a war doesn't mean it's prudent to do so, and that's the next question to ask. And finally, he says there should be inside information. We should have solid information on military progress, not to just listen to biased medias like the liberal media and words from the White House. But we have to have solid information in order to judge whether or not we should continue or cut short a war. And I think now we need to cut it short. So anyway, I appreciate Steve Hayes and his Chalcedon report on when is it right to fight, bringing up for us the Christian worldview some important themes that we need to think about. When is it right for us to go to war? I don't think it's right now. We aren't in a just war in Iraq or in Iran or the next places that George Bush will decide to conquer. Well, here is a review of All Things Good, The Steadfast Fidelity of Stonewall Jackson. That's right, All Things for Good, The Steadfast Fidelity of Stonewall Jackson by J. Stephen Wilkins. This is published in Cumberland House, Publisher 2004, 394 pages. And the review is done by Brian Snapp. Readers will enjoy this latest addition to the Leaders in Action series. Like the others, All Things for Good, The Steadfast Fidelity of Stonewall Jackson contains a biography of the subject followed by an examination of the individual's character and leadership attributes. Author J. Stephen Wilkins also includes numerous life applications in the book's later section. George Grant is editor of the series. Contemporaries of Jackson's childhood would not expect to see his biography included in a leadership series. Jackson grew up in poverty. His father loved to gamble. His mother suffered greatly because of bad financial decisions. Jackson's mother was widowed when he was only six. A subsequent marriage led to his mother sending the children away to relatives. This separation had long-lasting effects on the young boy. Nevertheless, God's hand of mercy and kindness was on Jackson, on Thomas Jonathan Jackson. Through God's providence, Jackson received a late appointment to West Point. Because of his limited educational background and social contacts, he found the work at the academy to be almost overwhelming. Yet, critical childhood lessons in the areas of work, duty, and perseverance and self-denial served him well. After graduation, he gained the respect of military commanders through brave conduct on the battlefield in the Mexican War. Subsequent assignments ultimately brought him to Virginia Military Institute as a professor. His focus on diligence and duty were essential as he worked hard to master at each and teach difficult academic subjects. Well, at any rate, we won't read on the rest of Jackson's stories. We know it so well here, but the book sounds like a great book, and he says at the end of his review, Christians, young and old, can profit from reading this volume. The major stress is not on military valor or victory. Throughout, Wilkins focuses on God's sanctifying work in Jackson, the individual, and Jackson's faithful desire to serve God, who continually worked in his life. The Christian is to be reminded that Jackson's God is our God in life and in death. And Brian Snapp is the associate pastor of Calvary Reformed Presbyterian Church in Hampton, Virginia, also a graduate of King's College and Reformed Theological Seminary. And we appreciate his review. We love Stonewall Jackson. Great guy. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And before we go on here, we welcome you back to Christian Worldview, by the way. Before we go on, I wanted to make a quick announcement for the Christian Exodus Conference that's coming up in Greenville, here in Greenville, Saturday, October 15th, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's going to be at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Greenville. They're needing to have a lot more seats filled, folks, and we hope that all of you will be able to fill those seats, especially because it's so difficult for people out of state to get here with the high cost of transportation, gasoline, and so forth at the moment. If you want to register for the $40 conference, it's 877-277-3578. That's 877-727-3578. Make sure you give a call to and talk to Corey Burnell or whoever picks up the phone at Christian Exodus to register for this important conference with workshops and lectures from yours truly, Dr. John Coben, Mr. Michael Chapman, Mr. Arthur Bringelson, and Corey Burnell at the conference here at the Hilton Hotel coming up soon, October 15th. Again, the phone number is 877-277-3578, and hopefully that will be on the webpage shortly if it's not there already, and you'll be able to get more details there if you missed them on the air here. We also want to talk about persecution in Germany of homeschoolers. Yes, indeed. September 1st, Li Duigon, D-U-I-G-O-N, reports that immigrants fleeing Europe to escape religious persecution coming to America to find religious freedom. We think that it's an image from our past, the pilgrims landing at Plymouth Rock, William Penn, Lord Calvert, but it's happening today. German Christians are trying to find a way to emigrate to the United States to preserve their faith and their families from persecution by an aggressively secular German government. We probably can't get political asylum, so we'll have to find another way, said Richard Gunther, director of whatever it says, Schulentricht zu Haus, whatever that is, a German homeschooling association. Regular immigration isn't so easy either. One application to immigrate can mean 2 years of paperwork, and we need something a lot faster, but we're working on it. Why? Because there's persecution. Claims of anti-Christian persecution in our country usually involve such matters as discrimination in the workplace, court-ordered removal of religious symbol, or bigoted TV shows. In Germany, persecution means fathers and mothers jailed for trying to homeschool their children, Christian children, taken into custody by state and placed in orphanages, and government officials telling fundamentalists to get out of Germany. Wow. To Americans, some of the ongoings in German public schools may seem incredible, and it certainly does. Of course, things like that can happen here, too. Let's not be blind to the fact that this kind of persecution and hate crimes and so forth is going on here in America. It's just that some folks are taking a stand against it. Some of us, and there's more of us here apparently than in Germany. We're losing ground, folks, because of the public school. Our great enemy has converted so many Christians over to their side, as well as the media and the brainwashing that goes through from watching these television shows. Again, I'm just going to interject here. I was watching another one of those episodes on DVD of that CSI. Every time I've seen one of those shows, it has some kind of sexual perversion in it. It's either adultery, homosexuality, polygamy. They're just throwing it out there as normal human life that we need to accept. It's not acceptable from the Christian worldview. I'm not saying it's not tempting or a Christian can't fall into any of these sins. I'm saying it's still not right. And yet, if we're watching television, folks, regularly and imbibing these sitcoms and these shows, it's not helping our Christian worldview. We're being numbed to the truth. And I would encourage folks to really think twice before they turn on that stupid television box to get preached to by the secular humanists and the leftists and the pagans of the world. At any rate, Gunther, I'm getting back to this article now, Gunther, American-born and raised, moved to Germany in 1995 with his German wife, Ingrid. The problem with Germany, he said, is that it's been a socialist country for two generations. Very true. There are also Russian Germans who are victims, who are of the state's anti-Christian campaign. A population of some 3 million recent immigrants from Russia, Germans from Kazakhstan, Ukraine, and Siberia, and elsewhere. Many of them were Baptists who came there, and they're now being persecuted. Remember that, folks. The state is not your friend, and you're watching what the state does, even in Germany today. don't think that America is just so different or so normal, I guess you might say, better to say it's so normal, that you can imagine that all people have it made, that they have religious freedom. They don't. States have been our arch enemy for the last 2,000, 5,000 years. They have been the arch enemy of the truth and of the Christian faith. And right now it's showing its ugly head, rearing its ugly head in Germany. Here's the country's administrator, the county administrator of Paderborn, Sven Adenauer, grandson of West Germany's first post-war chancellor, Konrad Adenauer, recently said publicly, "Fundamentalist Christians should leave the country." Grandfather Konrad Adenauer was imprisoned in a concentration camp by the Nazis for his belief. Sven Adenauer is a very wicked man, Gunther said, but he's only one of many German government officials who say things like this, because they're empowered by Satan. As I've said all along, the spirit of demons is in them, as the Word of God says in Revelation chapter 13, Revelation 16, Revelation 19, and many other places, as it's implied, including Satan himself saying that he has, and I think correctly, that he has power over the kingdoms of this world and can give them to whom he will, as he told Christ in the temptation. Anyway, can these people get to America and flee these wicked, satanic rulers? Well, it's not going to be easy. America is vital to the preservation of Christianity, Gunther said. The fight in Germany is pretty much over. We don't think there's anything more we can do in Germany, but America has resisted socialism and secularism. It is still a country of religious freedom, and we hope it stays that way for a little longer. We're fighting for that at any rate. But we also want to encourage the Gunther and others in Germany that God is still on the throne. If he chooses, he may revive Germany and make it, again, a place where Christianity can thrive. And we're very sad to see this horrible blight going on there in your country. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back for our final segment in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here's another article, Soldiers Forgotten in the Midst of Current Events. Bush administration avoids discussion on the ongoing occupation of Iraq. The last time that President Bush singularly addressed the fighting in Iraq was on June 28th before a military audience in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Since that time, the violence in Iraq has increased, including some of the deadliest to date. Oh, yes. Yeah, in fact, why are people keeping up with this number? Anyway, quick facts. American troops reported dead, 1,906. American troops wounded in Iraq, 14,362. Iraqi civilians killed since U.S. intervention, 25,884 to 29,187. Proposed exit strategies by the Bush administration is zero. These are all very conservative numbers published by the Libertarian Party. And it is a tragedy what's going on over there. It's an awful, awful thing. We just continue to go along losing lives and causing chaos and problems. And Bush does just on his jolly way there of his imperialistic conquest in the world. By the way, if you're tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions, try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Well, here's the article I mentioned before that we talk about. Is It Permissible by Walter Williams? We love to read things from Walter Williams, my former mentor and obviously a man who knows what's going on in the world. He says the following. Last week, President Bush promised the nation that the federal government will pay for most of the costs of repairing hurricane-ravaged New Orleans, adding, "There is no way to imagine America without New Orleans, and this great city will rise again." There's no question that New Orleans and her sister Gulf Coast cities have been struck with a major disaster, but should our Constitution become part of the disaster? You say, what do you mean, Williams? Let's look at it. In February 1887, President Grover Cleveland said, upon vetoing appropriating money to aid drought-stricken farmers in Texas, said, "I find no warrant for such an appropriation of the Constitution. I do not believe that the power or the duty of the general government ought to be extended to the relief of individual suffering, which is in no manner properly related to the public service or benefit." President Cleveland added, "The friendliness and charity of our countrymen can always be relied upon to relieve their fellow citizens in misfortune." Isn't that what's happened with Katrina, by the way? "This has been repeatedly and quite lately demonstrated. Federal aid in such cases encourages the expectation of paternal care on the part of the government and weakens the sturdiness of our national character, while it prevents the indulgence among our people of that kind of sentiment and conduct which strengthens the bonds of a common brotherhood." President Cleveland, says Walter Williams, vetoed hundreds of congressional spending measures during his two-term presidency, often saying, "I can find no warrant for such an appropriation in the Constitution." But Cleveland wasn't the only president who failed to see the charity as a function of the federal government. In 1854, after vetoing a popular appropriation to assist the mentally ill, President Franklin Pierce said, "I cannot find any authority in the Constitution for public charity." Hey, I didn't know that. That's a good quote. We need to remember Franklin Pierce. Yes, it's one of these little-known presidents from the 1850s. Okay. So he said he was actually one of the good guys, at least on this point. Wonder if anybody knows something more about Franklin Pierce. I don't. Anyway, "To approve each spending," argued Pierce, "would be contrary to the letter and spirit of the Constitution and subversive to the whole theory upon which the Union of these states is founded." Gotta like that. Gotta like that a lot. Anyway, James Madison, father of the Constitution, was irate over a $15,000 congressional appropriation to assist some French refugees. He said, "I cannot undertake to lay my finger on that article of the Constitution which granted a right to Congress of expending on objects of benevolence the money of their constituents." Indeed, if Congress is determined what constitutes the general welfare, said Senator William Drayton in 1828, South Carolina Senator William Drayton, if Congress can determine what constitutes the general welfare and can appropriate money for its advancement, where is the limitation to carrying into execution whatever can be affected by money? Walter Williams says, "Don't get me wrong about this. I'm not being too critical of President Bush or any other politician. There's such broad ignorance or contempt for constitutional principles among American people that any politician who bore true faith and allegiance to the Constitution would commit political suicide." Good point, Walter, and appreciate Walter Williams bringing to our attention these very important quotations and reminding us about our constitutional limits on benevolence, which basically there's no provision for benevolence. Finally, the final article for the day is Government Failure, Private Successes. This is sent to us by Brian Morton from Christian Libertarians. Michael Tanner writing about government failure and private successes. While the response to Hurricane Katrina has uncovered failures of government at every level, federal, state, and local, it has also revealed again the amazing generosity and effectiveness of America's private charitable efforts. America is the most generous nation on earth, and we're proving it. From Hollywood glitterati to school children in rural Georgia, from wealthy executives to men and women in the assembly line, in our churches, mosques, synagogues, and in a thousand other ways, we are reaching deep into our pockets and giving. Within 2 weeks of the disaster, Americans had already contributed more than $600 million to relief efforts. They're kicked another $100 million of in-kind donations, private schools offering tuition-free education to the children of survivors. Countless Americans have volunteered time and effort. Others have opened their homes to displaced, donated blood, and helped in other ways, large and small. There is a silver lining always, isn't there? And this is one thing that we can see here. It's a wonderful place, America, in terms of its culture of giving, unlike any place else in the world. And that's so notable, the volunteer spirit and generosity of Americans when you go out of the country and begin visiting other places. It's just not that apparent in other nations, not like America. And we can be applauded for that, but also look back at our great Christian heritage, which gives us a spirit of charity, of mercy ministries, and of wanting to help other people instead of just spending on ourselves. If people come to believe, he says, that government will provide funding, they may decide there is less need for their own contributions. This will result not only in the loss of money, but also the quality of human charity. And this is a sad thing if that is a result from government spending on benevolence, as the former presidents and senators decried in Walter Williams' recent article. Well, this comes to the conclusion of Christian Worldview again today. We look forward to another edition of Christian Worldview tomorrow and hope that you'll join us then. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.